Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze coming to you with a special announcement. And as I give this announcement, I want to ask you a series of questions. Have you ever had to minister to someone who just lost a loved one? Have you ever found yourself helping saints work through some church conflict? Have you ever had to work with some youth as they dealt with their specific issues? How about have you known a married couple who were having some difficulties and they asked you to come and talk to them? Or maybe even there was a blended family that you had to minister to. Maybe you found yourself coming up a little short in the area of what to tell them, especially in reference to what the Bible says. Well, we have good news for you here at Bethany Baptist Church. We are having a biblical counseling conference. It's going to take place April 11th through April the 12th. The theme for our conference is help, hope, and healing for the hurting. The passage of scripture that we are using as a foundation is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 61 and verse 3, which says, "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." That is to bring help, hope, and healing to the hurting. So if you attend this conference, you will be equipped from the scriptures to minister to those who are grieving, to minister to blended families, to minister to someone going through church conflict, to minister to a couple who is in conflict, and ministering to youth and their specific issues. To find out more about this biblical counseling conference, and let me say this, you don't have to be a counselor to come to the conference. This conference is for lay people. And so we want to encourage you as a lay person who finds themselves in the midst of helping those who are hurting. We want you to come and get equipped to do ministry as the Lord has called us to. For more information, you can call 412-246-4463. That's 412-246-4463. We look forward to seeing you at the conference. God bless you today as you listen to the broadcast.
Hello and welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of The Gift of Giving. So let's rejoin Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Gift of Giving.
So when God gets ready to take it, he doesn't have to pry my hands open. But if you're trying to hold it, some people say, man, people hold a dollar so tight that they can hear the eagle holler. You know, that's how tight that they hold on to stuff. You know, you got to hold it loosely and realize that God owns it all. And not only that, but they had the outward perspective. And what was the outward perspective? They saw the needs of their brothers and sisters. You know, I thought about it. I said, you know, really, the fact of the matter is that we just live in a selfish society. You know, we live in a society that's just selfish, where everybody wants, as I said before, to get all they can all they get, and then sit on the can. And here, you know, these individuals, they were given. They saw the needs of their brothers and sisters, and they just gave. I like the poem that I've shared with you before. I had a little tea party this afternoon at 3. 'Twas very small, 3 guests in all, just I, myself, and me. I ate all the sandwiches, myself drank all the tea. 'Twas also I that ate the pie, now pass the cake to me. And that's the way that it is. It's all about us. It's all about us. You know, one thing, and I realize this, that when you are dealing with something, it's hard to be concerned about other people. The last 3 weeks, I've been sick. My wife knows how sick I've been. And I've had a constant headache, 24/7. I went to the emergency room on Monday. They had gave me brain scans and everything else. And, you know, people was calling me and saying, Pastor, can you pray for me? My wife was calling me, pray for my sister. And I was just thinking, man, you know, I need somebody to pray for me. I mean, I just need somebody to pray for me. And even though I was hearing the cries of other people, and even though I understood that, you know, there was other things going on around the world, you know, but at that time, that's what I was dealing with. And it was hard for me to move away from my own misery and my own suffering that I was in. But, you know, the Lord spoke to my heart. And the Lord said, you got to keep going. Yeah, I mean, you got to take care of yourself. But you know what? The world don't stop just because you got a headache. And but yet and still, when we come to that point, it seems like it's all about us. And even when it comes to this thing of giving, you know, it's all about, well, I got to take care of me. I got the financial headache. You know what I'm saying? I got the financial headache, and I got to take care of me. I got to take care of myself. I can't be concerned about others and other people and other things. But God is saying that you have to learn how to have this outward perspective, that even though you might be going through something yourself, that you got to find a way to reach out of your pain. You got to find a way to reach out of your pain and your suffering. And you know what? When last Sunday when I preached and I went back in my office, man, I was done. I was done. But yet and still, when I was up here, my head was hurting. But I didn't think about that. Because I was given Bible study. Same thing. I was given. And for just that while that I was, for just the moment that I was given out, man, God somehow gave me some relief in what I was going through. At the time that I was given out, God enabled me to take my mind off of my situation and be a blessing to someone else. And I'm here to say today, saints, that we can get so myopic in our own financial problems and our own financial situations that we fail to reach out and try to be a blessing to other folks. Sometimes we need to realize that maybe our deliverance out of our financial situation is being a blessing to somebody else. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, he said, well, whatever you sow, that you're also going to reap. Jesus said in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given back to you. Now, once again, I'm not one of these guys that believe in this name it, claim it, blab it, grab it theory. That's not where I'm at. But I do believe that if our heart is right and our heart is pure before the Lord and we give to God, that God will take care of our needs. David said, I've been young and I've been old, yet have I not seen the righteous in the poor line at the poorhouse begging bread. I haven't seen it. I've never seen anybody standing in the poorhouse. And as I've told you before, I'm still trying to figure out. I remember my grandmother and mother used to say, you know, we don't want to go down to the poorhouse. I don't know where that's at. I still don't know where. I'm a grown person. I'm still looking. Is there a poorhouse somewhere that people go to? I still haven't found it. I know that was just an expression. All right. I know that was just an expression. But you know what? You won't find God's people at the poorhouse because God is going to take care of them. God is going to meet their needs. So people with this gift, they have an unselfish spirit. People with this gift understand that they have been blessed by God. Look at verse 33. They understand that they have been blessed by God. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Great grace. You know the word grace, you know what that means? God's favor. They had the favor of God upon them. What is the favor of God? As I studied it out in the scripture, I came up with three things. This is God's favor. Number one, it means to have his approval. It means that God is approving of what you do. Number two, it means not only do you have his approval, but you have special consideration by God. It means that God considers you in a special way. It means that if you got Christian A and you got Christian B, all right? Now, once again, let me say this because I don't want anybody to misunderstand me. I believe that the grace of God is extended to every person. God's grace is extended to every person. And so if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you are under the grace of God. But let me say this now, everybody is not under the favor of God. There's a big difference between being under God's grace and God's favor. And God gives his favor. If you have Christian A and you have Christian B, and Christian A is living a life that's displeasing to the Lord, and Christian B is living a life that's pleasing to God, then guess where God's favor is going to go? It's going to go on the person who's living that life that's pleasing to God. So if I have the favor of God on my life, that means that I have his approval. It means that I have special consideration from him. That means when God looks down, that God is going to look on my life. Look at Joseph. Here was Joseph in prison. In prison. Just like all the other inmates. In prison. But what does the Bible say about Joseph? It said that the Lord gave him favor with the jail keeper. Out of all the guys in there, Joseph got favor. That God looked down, God saw Joseph, and God gave him special consideration. The favor of God, his approval, his special consideration, and then it means that he will bless you in an extra special way. He will bless you in an extra special way. You wonder why you got problems in your life? You wonder why you got difficulty, financial difficulties? Sometimes it's because you might not have God's favor. Now, once again, I always have to distinguish because I don't want people to get the wrong idea about what I'm saying. You know, sometimes people have to go through something because that's what God is taking them through. When I was in seminary, I was doing everything right, and I was trying to serve God and trying to please him, but I was poor. I was more poor, as somebody said, than Job's turkey. Well, how poor was Job's turkey? He was so poor that he didn't even have a gobble. So that was pretty poor. That's pretty poor. I was doing things the right way, but I was poor. As a matter of fact, I wasn't even poor. We can drop the last two letters off of the word poor, and I was poor. I was just poor. And as my dad said, I was so poor that I couldn't even buy a mosquito or a wrestling jacket. That's how poor I was. But God was doing something. God was doing something in me. And so he was working it. You know, my wife and I, you know, we were trying to serve God. We were trying to please him. And so he was working something in me. He was working in me this ability to be able to just trust him. But now some folk are not in that situation. Some people are in the situation where you're just being disobedient and rebellious, irresponsible, and you wonder why you're going through that, and I'm going to tell you why you're going through it. Because God's favor is not on you. God's favor is not on you. If God's favor is on you, this must have supposed to be on giving, right? Well, we see here that they were blessed. You know, these people that have the gift of giving, they were blessed because they understood that God had blessed them. You know, and as I think about, you know, just the whole idea of having the favor of God on my life. That means that God will give you that special consideration that he's not giving the next person. This is a hard thing I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it. Proverbs. I can't pull the scripture right now, but it's in there. It says, the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. And with it, he adds no sorrow. People say, well, God bless me with such and such a thing. But you can't make the payments on it. Now, the Bible tells me that the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and with it he has no sorrow.
So if the creditor is calling me every month, if I'm getting all kind of nasty notices in the mail because I made a commitment that I can't take care of, then I have to ask the question, is this the blessings of the Lord? Now, is that verse, it's either true or it's not. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. And with it, he has no sorrow. You know, go back to what I said a couple weeks ago. Some folk, as I heard Pastor Paul Shepherd say, some people are trying to wear a $100 hat on a $10 head. You only have a $10 head, and you're trying to wear a $100 hat. It don't work. It don't work. And so when that happens, you begin to get stressed out, and you begin to get into all kind of frustrated situations, and then you say, well, I thought that God blessed me. If God blessed you, let me tell you this. God's work done God's way will never lack God's supply. Now, that's not original with me, all right? Somebody said, a wiser person than me said that. God's work done God's way will never lack God's supply. If it's your season to have something, God will provide it and make sure that you have it. You know, for years, I rode around. Now, hopefully I'm not saying a term that's incorrect. Hoopties. I guess that's what they call them. Or I heard somebody say the other day, beaters. You know, I rode around in beaters. I had four kids, trying to take care of four kids. You know, driving from point A to point B, didn't know if I was going to make it or not. Four kids. Somebody can identify with that. You know, now I could have very easy wouldn't got me a top of the line car, but I couldn't afford it. Only thing I could afford was the beater, the hoopty. So I had to ride around in that. I remember a car, man, I had the horn on the car. Every time you turned the corner, it would honk, 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 honk. But that's where I was at. I remember many occasions, I became the greatest mechanic in the world because I didn't have money to go down and take it to the shop to have somebody fix it. I put universal joints on the car. I've changed alternators, batteries. I put a radiator in, water pump. I did all that because I didn't have the money. Now, I could have went and bought some luxury car, but it wasn't my season for that. But it's my season now. It's my season. It's my season. You know, my kids are grown. They all out the house. They on their own. You know, I bless them. All right, I bless them. All right? But it's my season for something else now. And see, some of y'all, you trying to be in Pastor Glaze season when God don't have you in that season right now. And you need to be in the season where you're at and work through that season. And let me tell you, if you hold on, God got something for you. He got something for you. So we understand that we've been blessed by the Lord. I can see right now, I'm not gonna finish this message today. Let me hit a couple more points and I'm gonna be done. God's favor. That's why they gave. Because they, you know, you if you realize how good God has been to you, you realize that you are on your way to hell and you were headed there at 100 miles an hour on a one-way road, and that Jesus Christ came and snatched you up out of the pit of hell and put you back on the right road to eternal life. Man, there should be something that resonates in your spirit with that. And so there should never be. And I know I'm talking about people with the gift of giving today, but you know, for us, there should never be any arguing with God about giving to him. There should never be any arguing. You know, that was one thing that me and God settled right up front. Because I know where I was at, and I know what I was doing. And I know that God had blessed me. And that's what it says about these saints right here. Why did they give to all the others around them? They gave because it says in verse 33, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was on them. They had the favor of God on their life. The third thing that we see is that they had the financial resources to help other people. Look at verse 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as was possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. People that have this gift have something that God blesses them so that they can be a blessing to others. As I shared a couple weeks ago, sometimes when we've been blessed, the first question that ought not come to our mind in some situations is, how can I use this for myself? But the first thing that should come to my mind is, how can I be a blessing to someone else? Because you see, if you find a way, as I said earlier, God will get it to you if he can get it through you. And maybe by you hoarding up that blessing that God has given you, you are holding up a greater blessing in your life. God is trying to get his people blessed. And here it says that these individuals in this early church, that they sold the houses and lands that they possessed, and then they brought the price to the things that they sold to the apostles. They had something. God blessed them with something. God put them in a position where they could be a blessing to someone else. And sometimes we get blessed and we move up and we move out and we upgrade and we do all this and we forget about God. We forget about him. We just think about self. It's just like me. When I was going through what I was going through with that headache, yeah, it was hard to think about other things. But God was just saying, man, if just for a little while you just go and you reach out to somebody else, I'm going to give you some relief in the situation that you're in. And sometimes if we just reach out, God will give us relief in the situation. Number four, they are sensitive to the financial and material needs of others. Look at verse 35. And they laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. They had a heart for their brothers and sisters. And they were in tune with their needs, and they gave to every man as he had need. And then number five, they want to know that their gift is making a significant difference. When you give, you want to know that where you're giving, it's making a significant difference. That's why I love when opportunities come up. A couple of weeks ago, the Habib family up in Penn Hills, that Jordan Lee came before us and shared this family had come. They didn't have anything. And we took up an offering. We took up over $1,200, I believe it was, for that family who didn't have the wherewithal to meet the physical needs of their everyday life. And yet and still, you know, God used us, and it's good to know that it went to a place where it was making a difference. When Katrina hit in the Gulf Coast, we took up an offering here, almost $2,000, sent it down to a church that was every day, people that were homeless were coming to this church because they needed to eat and they needed a place to stay. It's good to know that when you give, that your giving is making a difference. And that's what these individuals wanted to know. They saw the need, they reached out and they met the need, and they knew it was making a difference. Thank God for people with the gift of giving.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were challenged by today's teaching. Join us next time for the first half of part two of The Gift of Giving. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, The Gift of Giving, You can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request the gift of giving or program number 080413. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request the gift of giving or program number 080413. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208.